Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be back with you once again. It's been a busy week here on the podcast, but that's just because, hey, it's the off season. But we are enjoying breaking down some different ways in which the Grizzlies can really add benefit to their team going forward, you know, through some opportunities this offseason. This week, I have continued to look at some prospect profiles for the Grizzlies, some options for them with the number 40 pick. I took a little bit of a break, you know, talked about some different things around the NBA, as well as really took a dive into DeAnthony Melton, discussion his situation coming up, his restricted free agency. But we're going to get back on that prospect profile grind and look at another intriguing prospect for the Grizzlies. It's been a lot of fun, so I wanted to put out a special Saturday episode that I think that you'll enjoy. And for today and Monday, I'm going to be looking at a few local prospects who definitely could make sense for the Grizzlies. And in today's episode, we're going to talk about, in my opinion, a player who truly is one of the better shooting potential prospects in this year's draft, and that's Arkansas guard Isaiah Joe. In the first segment, as we've been doing, we'll discuss the things that jump out the page, the general profile strengths and weaknesses of Isaiah Joe that really defines him as a prospect. In the second segment, we'll discuss the statistical application from his college days. You know, what jumps out at him? There is a lot of fun statistics when it comes to Isaiah Joe. And in the third segment, we'll discuss how he fits the Grizzlies. He clearly, his main strength clearly would fill in a clear need for Memphis, but just how much of a priority should he be above other prospects? We do want to remind you of the show. You can find it at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. The show is anywhere that podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone. Also want to remind you to definitely go to the show, listen, subscribe, review. You know, I've come to notice over the past, you know, few weeks that there are several different sources that you not only can listen to the podcast to, but listeners are from all across the world, from different countries, wherever you may be listening. Can't thank you enough for the support. I do this. I've been covering the Grizzlies nearly for 2 years through Grizzly Bear Blues as a writer and as a podcaster. Now here on Locked On Grizzlies, I do it because I love it. I cherish every opportunity I get to display and you know, talk about something I'm passionate about in the NBA and the Grizzlies, and love sharing my perspectives with you. So thank you for the positive feedback as well as your support through listening. But so Isaiah Joe, really, really fun prospect to write down just simply because of his playing style. If you're wanting someone who really fits the modern NBA in terms of his strength, if you're wanting that source of instant offense, you're wanting that really, really significant shooting potential, and you're wanting that player who can find his ability to get his shot off in different ways, Isaiah Joe is your guy. Now, I talked about a previous prospect, Jordan Nwora, from Louisville, as being someone who has range and being someone who can find his shot, but because of his athletic profile, it was more of his ability and his confidence to create his shot from range instead of really creating his shot in different ways. But that's not necessarily the case with Joe. With Joe, it's not only the ability for him to shoot the three and the decent ability for him to be accurate consistently from that range, but it's the versatility of how he can do it. Isaiah Joe has so much depth to his ability to shoot. He can shoot from range. He's confident in his ability. You see it on game film. It jumps out. There are so many different angles and so many different situations in which Joe can create his shot. He can do it off the dribble. He can do it pulling up. He can do it off a screen. He can do it in catch and shoot situations. He can do it off movement. He also can do it with no defenders close. So many different ways in which Joe can make his shot consistently. And that's really what you want to see from a guy like Joe, because one thing that is there to his advantage, he's not really a bouncy, jump out of the gym type of athlete, but he is someone who feels very comfortable in movement. Not only does he have the ability through ball handling to create his own shot, but off screens, off ball movement, running through designed off ball setups to get open for a shot is his game. And not only is it in the three-point game, he also can do it in the mid-range. He has the ability to really be effective as a floor spacer, something that we all know Taylor Jenkins really wants to prioritize. Now, it's great that Joe has the capability of being able to find his own shot in so many ways, but of course the risk that you run with a young dynamic shooter like you have with Joe is that he may become too reliable on his shot. And that is something that also jumps off the page a bit as a bit of a weakness. It's something that you could certainly work on, but something that you also, you know, want to be aware of is that he is a volume shooter. He's someone that really stands out as, you know, preferring to take his shot sometimes more than letting an offensive scheme play itself out. Now, he's a capable passer. He can make good passes. He can add decent value in a half-court setup as far as, you know, making the correct passes, you know, going through the offensive scheme, being a ball mover to where he can set up to find highly effective shots. But he has from time to time shown a tendency to prefer to get his own shot up, you know, a bit too quickly instead of letting the offensive scheme create a higher profile or a more successful shot opportunity. But overall, there's more encouraging signs to his ability as a shooter than there is, you know, concerns. And in general, I really do think that you could easily put Isaiah Joe in the top five, you know, among the top five shooters in this class, and also among the top five shooters in terms of their projectability in the NBA. In terms of their NBA potential from this class. The other thing that stands out about Joe is the fact that there is some defensive upside as well due to the type of athletic profile that he has. Now, again, it's not really a lot of vertical athleticism in terms of his ability to leap and jump and things like that. Yes, he can dunk. Yes, he can, you know, get, you know, do, you know, all the things that you would expect a guard to be able to do with his body type. But he is someone that also knows how to effectively use his movement to create value. Off the ball, you know, in terms of his off the ball movement to get open for threes, that definitely is there on offense. But he also can create some off the ball opportunities on defense. He averaged 1.5 steals in college, which is certainly is an encouraging sign. And he also has the ability to use his length to disrupt passes, make life a tough for opposing guards to be able to find passing lanes. You know, he can get a hand up in the guard space. He's not someone that's going to be a good source of blocks, but in terms of steals and in terms of being an off-the-ball playmaker and just general disruptor, there's some good potential there. More in terms of him working into the scheme of being a team player and adding a bit of value, his defensive upside certainly is to the point to where you can keep him on the court without him being a liability and allow for his shooting ability on offense to be the main source of his value. Now, the thing about Joe is that because of his body type and his ability to move, the downside is that he is extremely thin. He's that type of player who, when you look at him in college, yeah, it's fine that he was able to move and you know, defenses weren't able to really adjust because his quickness allowed for him to get open. When the NBA, if he's going to be facing bigger guards and bigger wings who are defending him, he may run into trouble. He's not someone that's going to be able to rely on his size to really make a difference. In fact, he's someone that may, you know, his size could be a liability and making it tougher for him to get his shot off if he's defended closely. Another reason why his size comes into play is because it could limit his upside as being someone that can get to the rim and score or be a physical defender on the perimeter. He does have some decent finishing ability. He does make smart decisions and does have the ability, you know, through dribbling and also through, you know, contorting his body to find a shot. He has that capability in the lane. But is he someone you truly want to go into the lane on a consistent basis? Likely not, because of what his size is. So there is some upside in terms of his ability as a finisher and as a passer, but it's also not a good, I don't know if you want for it to be a big part of his game because of how thin he is. So when we talk about the words dynamic, when we talk about the words prolific, when we talk about the words volume, and when we talk about the words exciting, all those different things are legitimately applied to Joe's ability as a shooter, and that is his clear strength. But what does statistics say about, you know, projecting his ability as a quality shooter? Not just a volume shooter, but a quality shooter at the NBA level. Are there statistics that show that he could be that? And what else about his game will allow for him to be more than just a shooting specialist? Something that a lot of teams put value in when it comes to analyzing these prospects. Coming up, we'll look at both of those things here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. With our lead up to the NBA draft, I mentioned that I will be having a few guests on in the near future to really talk about the draft from a Grizzlies perspective and as a whole. And one name that I have really, over the past few days, as a matter of fact, on a few occasions, have really come to enjoy interacting with. His name is Ben Pfeiffer, and he will be on the show with us either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, so really looking forward to talking with him. Very insightful mind when it comes to, how to analyze prospects, what to look for as far as their projectability and things such as that. But in general, one thing that I talked with Ben about was when it comes to trying to identify shooting talent, what are a few things about the statistical profiles of these prospects that you really want to look at when it comes to their ability to project as shooters in the NBA? One of the things that he really mentioned that stood out would be volume, would be how much repetition, how much opportunities, how routine was it for these players to get their shot off in the college game. And if it is high volume and decent percentage, then that's encouraging because it means on several different levels, this player not only was comfortable with his shot, he had a multitude of ways in which he can get his shot off, and he was comfortable with consistently finding a form that he could be consistent and comfortable with. So it really developed their ability to so high volume in college really allows for a player to be able to develop a consistent shooting percentage that can make him reliable as a floor spacer and as a shooting option in the NBA. Well, that's something that immediately jumps off the page about Isaiah Joe. In 60 games at the University of Arkansas over the past 2 years, Joe has averaged 9.1 three-point shots per game. That's 9.1 three-pointers per game. For a lot of college teams, that would be about a third of the overall three-point shots that they took in a game, and that's incredible. You know, as a matter of fact, since the 1992-1993 season, Joe actually is in the top 25 of players, of all players, when it comes to three-point shot attempts per game. So he truly is a rare commodity and is in, elite company when it comes to, the volume of three-point shots that he got off, in his college career. Overall, in his college career, he averaged 15.2 points per game. He shot 39% from the field, 42% for 43% from three and 37 or excuse me from 2 point on 2 point shots and 37% from three. Now, one thing that kind of also, stands out that could be a bit concerning is that he did see a bit of a reduction in the quality of his shots despite taking more shot opportunities going from his freshman to sophomore year. Now, a lot of that could have been the role that he was asked to play in Arkansas. It could have been that the defenses coming off his freshman year in which he made the 2018-2019 all-freshman SEC team, defenses, they targeted him. They knew that he was a big point. He was a big source of Arkansas's offense, and so a lot of his shots were contested. That goes back to it probably would have been better if he would have passed the ball or let offensive schemes worked out, but with him being a focal point of the offense, defenses were there to contest his shot, so it was a bit harder to make. But still, the volume stands out, and the fact that he did make 41% of his threes on eight three-point attempts per game in college as a freshman also is highly encouraging. Another factor when it comes to his shooting ability and how it projects is the fact that his free throw attempts went from 2.4 to 3.5 between his freshman and sophomore year. His free throw shooting percentage also went from 75.6% to 89%. So that again adds validation to the ability for him to repeat his shooting form. So the volume is there. The ability, the statistics that you want to see as far as him being able to have his consistent shooting form is there as well. So there's plenty of projectability. And at the end of the day, that's what you've got to realize about Isaiah Joe. He's likely not going to be the type of source that is going to be a quality shooter. He's likely not going to turn into the elite level type shooting specialist that like a Kyle Korver or Duncan Robinson has turned into. I don't think he has that type of potential. But that does not mean that takes away from the value that he adds as a floor spacer. Because something that defenses are going to have to respect is that this isn't just a catch and shoot option type guy. This isn't just a guy who's going to use intelligence to get open and get his shot. This is a guy that if you leave alone, if you do not focus on him, he can burn you and burn you in a heartbeat when it comes to his offense if he gets hot because of the depth of versatility versatility when it comes to finding his shot. He can create shots off the dribble. He can, you know, as we mentioned in the first segment, there are so many different ways in which he can find his shot from three. So while he may not necessarily, you know, come close to leading the NBA in 3-point field goal percentage, he certainly is someone who can get his shot off consistently, and with the volume that he's had in college, you've got to respect that, because he certainly is going to be effective at spacing the floor. The thing, though, that stands out, especially, for instance, over at Tankathon, you know, mentions that his strengths are shooting the ball, you know, his projected NBA three-point shooting percentage, and also his free throw percentage. But the number one thing that they immediately comes as a weakness is his field goal percentage. So you're running into more of a volume score than it comes to high-quality three-point shooter in Isaiah Joe. And as we mentioned in the first segment, the risk that you run with that type of profile is that he becomes a volume shooter that a lot of times probably is relying too much on his shot instead of being a, you know, important cog in an offensive scheme that's consistent. You know, another thing that you would hope that Joe would stand out for would be as a secondary playmaker, but there just was not a lot of it. He did show a bit of rebounding ability, as he had averaged 3.4 rebounds throughout his college career, 2.8 his freshman year, 4.1 as a sophomore. Assists, though, were not really there. 1.7 assists per game in both his freshman and sophomore year, and he also averaged 1.7 turnovers per game in his sophomore year. So that 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio indicates a few things. Number one, there's not really a lot of secondary playmaking potential or ability to add to his, you know, value through playmaking, and also the decision making. Yes, he can make basic passes. A lot of the scouting reports on Joe suggest that he can make basic passes, but as far as being someone who really can create offense through playmaking, it's not there just yet. It could be, but it's not there at this point in time. Now, as I mentioned, another thing about his game that does stand out is the fact that he can create steals. As a matter of fact, since the 1992 season, Joe is one of only 14 players in college who, over the past 30 years in the NCAA, who's played at least 50 games and averaged nine or more three-point shots per game and at least 1.5 or more steals per game. The only other NBA talent, significant NBA talent, that's done that is Steph Curry. Now, I'm using that as an example to show that that type of ability, you know, is certainly something that can translate to the NBA. Isaiah Joe's not going to be Steph Curry, in my opinion. However, he does have the ability to still add value on defense. I feel like with his off-ball ability as a defender, because he does, the thing about Joe that really helps out, that you see through his three-point shooting, it helps out in his ability as a three-point shooter and also as a defender, he's intelligent and knowing how to use his body in terms of movement, footwork, movement around the perimeter, things such as that. I think Joe is not likely going to be an elite defender in the NBA, but I think that one thing that you see a lot of times with shooting specialists is that the value that they add on offense a lot of time is negated because of their reliability on defense. The encouraging sign with Joe through his perimeter ability and knowing how to use his body on the perimeter is that he may not ever be an elite level defender, but I think that he could gel well with the team defense, and I think that he could stand out as not being at least not being a liability on defense. He's someone that you could live with due to his defensive potential, and that is significant because that means that he truly will add overall positive value through his shooting. As we also mentioned, while he does have decent rebounding potential, I don't think at the NBA level he's really going to be a rebounder. If there's anything that's going to require for him to use his body in the paint or in terms of his size, I don't think that's something you can rely on. You really don't want Joe being someone who's banging it with the bigs or doing physical stuff in the game, because his body's just not going to hold up. You know, he already had his sophomore season cut short due to a knee injury. So I don't necessarily know if he's injury prone, but he's probably not someone that you want to, that you're really wanting to, you know, interact with the physical part of the game. You want for him to live out on the perimeter as a spacer on offense, you know, as someone that could really, you know, distract the defense's attention as a shooter and spacer, and then on defense, let him operate off the ball or in a team concept when it comes to defense and add value that way. So as we've discussed, Joe certainly has the potential to be a dynamic shooter. He's shown that ability. He also has a few different areas in which he could add value beyond just being a shooting threat. With that being considered, does that make him a high priority for the Grizzlies at 40? Coming up, we'll discuss, even though the Grizzlies' backcourt is certainly crowded, I do think that Joe makes a lot of sense for Memphis. I'll give you a few reasons why here in a moment. So when the Grizzlies hired Taylor Jenkins to be their head coach back in the summer, back in June of 2019, there wasn't much to go off of to really get an idea of, you know, what Jenkins' tendencies and preferences and, you know, coaching style would be, because he'd never been a head coach. He had mostly been an assistant coach. So what other, myself and others relied on really was the sources that he came from and how those coaches coached and how that may impact Taylor Jenkins' ability as a head coach. And that certainly was the case. Coming from the Mike Budenholzer coaching tree, Taylor Jenkins carried over some consistencies of that, especially on offense. Of course, if you've kept up with the Milwaukee Bucks and you kept up with the Atlanta Hawks, Mike Budenholzer was always a coach who wanted to play fast and was near the top of the league in three-point attempts. He showed that this year with the Bucks in terms of their offensive style of play. Well, as the season went on, you saw indications that that's what Taylor Jenkins also wanted to do. Now, it was hard to implement with the roster that he had and the overall, probably lack of shooting ability, you could describe it as, the overall lack of natural shooting ability that this roster has. But there still were clear signs that he wanted to stick to his preferences of playing fast, spacing the floor, and really prioritizing shooting the three. You saw that in comparing this offense, the Grizzlies' offense this season, to previous offenses in the past. This, by far, was the most prolific and consistent three-point shooting team in Grizzlies' history, also by far the fastest-paced offense in Grizzlies history. You also saw it in terms of how he prioritized players in rotations, especially in the bubble. Players such as Gorgui Dieng, DeAnthony Melton, and Josh Jackson, though opportunities were there against better competition, Taylor Jenkins started to prioritize talents such as Anthony Tolliver and Grayson Allen due to their shooting ability. Despite the struggles of Dylan Brooks, his ability to be a spacer made Jenkins give him a long leash in terms of trusting him on the court. Jenkins truly believes in the pace and space philosophy because it's worked for predecessors of his, and it's also shown to work in the NBA today. For that reason, despite the fact that the Grizzlies have committed a ton of money already to their guards, and they also have a clear hierarchy, they have a very crowded backcourt in Memphis, I think that Isaiah Joe is a high priority for Memphis if shooting is truly something that they want to commit to. I think that the Grizzlies, I don't know if Joe's going to be the highest type of priority or the highest priority on the Grizzlies, you know, a big board. When it comes to number 40, you probably could make a case for other players to be ranked higher. But in terms of the philosophy that Jenkins has, in terms of the need that the Grizzlies have to add shooting talent to the roster, and in terms of the fact that Joe still has plenty of upside as a shooter, overall, as a prospect, I think that he could be one of the most sensible targets for the Grizzlies, you know, when it comes to this draft. Now, how does he fit for the current regime and the future? There's probably not going to be a lot of opportunity for Joe on this team this season. There already are plenty of volume or plenty of, you know, still developing shooting options and volume shooting options, and especially if the Grizzlies retain DeAnthony Melton and Melton and Tyus Jones and Allen and Dylan Brooks, all of that to support Ja Morant. But if the Grizzlies still wanted to get Joe and have him mainly play at South Haven, for instance, there's nothing lost on that. Because the reason why that may be beneficial is because if he goes and he continues to develop his game at South Haven, well, then the Grizzlies, if he does develop his game, kind of like I mentioned with Peyton Pritchard and Tyus Jones, if Isaiah Joe were to go to develop his game in South Haven and have a couple of, you know, occasional appearances with the Grizzlies, Then, as the Grizzlies get to assess the Meltons and the Brookses and the Allens, you know, for another year in Memphis, they may start parting ways with a few of them in trades or other moves to upgrade their roster to find, you know, other starting talent to put next to Ja and Jaren. And then if that's the case, if some of these current options in the Grizzlies guards rotations were to find new homes, you have Joe as a reinforcement that can come right in and be potentially a valuable bench piece. And that's where I also think Joe makes sense. I think one thing that the Grizzlies have right now when it comes to their bench is that they have a lot of efficient pieces, a lot of pieces that work together through strategy and schematics to really be efficient and really be one of the best benches in the NBA. But one thing that this roster is missing as a whole is someone that can create their own shot from distance, someone that can truly space the floor, and someone that can be identified as a microwave type score, that instant offense type score that a lot of contenders have as the sixth or seventh man off the bench. Now, you could see Dylan Brooks eventually being that. That's probably the ideal role that Dylan Brooks has on a team. You know, that's a sustainable winner and true contender. But I don't think that Dylan Brooks has the shooting upside that Isaiah Joe has. I'm not saying that Joe's going to be a better player. Brooks will likely be a better player due to his ability to get in the mid-range, due to his ability as a defender. I'm not saying that Joe is more valuable than Dylan Brooks, but I do think Jones at least has the upside to be a more prolific long-distance shooter than Brooks, which is truly a thing that the Grizzlies need. You know, I mentioned it, for instance, this year, when Dylan Brooks made four or more three-pointers, the Grizzlies were 9-1. When the Grizzlies can have consistent three-point shooting, that means the defense has to notice that, has to recognize and respect that, and then that just lets the Grizzlies play to their strengths of getting into the paint. So I think I'm not necessarily saying that Isaiah Joe is the next Dylan Brooks. That's not the comparison I'm making. But my point is that if you're looking at a prospect at 40 that not only matches up in terms of the upside that the Grizzlies are likely looking for in a prospect overall, also a prospect whose strengths match the Grizzlies' long-term needs in shooting, and in general a player that really could fit the mold of the type of additions that Jenkins wants to add to this roster as to help out with making them better and more effective at pace and space, I think it's hard to find many more candidates who will be in the 40 range than Isaiah Joe. The issue is that this is not, the Grizzlies are not the only team that could use this type of talent. And with his upside, I think that Joe probably is someone that teams in the late first to early second really could, you know, monitor as a talent to pick. For that reason, I think Joe is a sensible option for the Grizzlies to potentially trade up for. If they could use another second-round pick or, you know, other asset or whatever it may be, you know, perhaps even to move into the late first, there's sense in it if Jenkins truly wants to start adding pieces like Joe to his roster. Because if you were to then get into the first round and get Joe, you've now got him on a three to four-year contract, basically, to where you would have him cheap and you can develop him. And as Jenkins has showed, he does have the ability to develop players. And if he can get a talent like Joe's who meets his philosophy on a lot of different levels, and he can get him, you know, under a controllable contract, that has a lot of benefit for Memphis. So I think the overall ceiling for Joe is that he is a true instant scoring, shooting from distance type talent that all NBA benches want to have to feature. I think that Joe could eventually turn into a decent, you know, six-man option, maybe even at the peak of his career, becoming a six-man of the year candidate. But overall, I think that he is a sensible Grizzlies target. As I mentioned, even in the right situation, someone that they could trade up to get. Because with his style of play and his strengths, it not only matches up well with areas that the Grizzlies need to improve, but I also think that Isaiah Joe's style of play is something that meets a lot of the preferences of head coach Taylor Jenkins. Thank you so much for taking the time with us to enjoy this opportunity today. I hope your weekend is going great. Just another week, a week closer to Halloween. Hope that your lead up to the holiday is fun. We're going to be with you all week long. I'm going to look at another local prospect, a teammate of Joe's, on our Monday episode. And as I mentioned, either Tuesday or Wednesday, we're going to talk with Ben Pfeiffer, one of the better up-and-coming NBA prospect minds in the basically in the NBA today. Really looking forward to speaking with him. We're going to have a few more guests as well, obviously, leading up to the draft. But until next time, hope that you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.